Chris. Bring in the O Factor to your mornings.
Owetu no Dada on Heart FM.
Good morning to you if you're just tuning in. This is the O Factor coming to you live from our HQ out in Greenpoint, where the weather is just absolutely stunning. We are all smiles here because we are certainly feeling the festive vibes and talking about all things festive. We are about to delve into a beautiful conversation with a Star Academy director and founder, Ilana Gershowitz, who of course has a mission to reach as many little people as possible with the treatment of autism, Asperger's, ADHD and opposition defiance disorder. They've been working super hard on research and finding interventions and have basically put through a formula anchoring it on the development of the principles of ABBA. She's a leading expert on autism and certainly needs our introduction. She's been a friend of the station for a while now as we kick off our series called Challenging Children about 4 episodes ago, and this is the final episode. She's mom to 3 boys, one recovered from autism and her oldest son living with autism. She's an absolute autism advocate, a superstar, author of Saving My Sons, A Journey with Autism, and of course, as I said, founding director of the Star Academy. Ilana, hello, good morning, welcome back home. How are you doing?
Good morning. It's so nice to be speaking to you, and thank you for that beautiful introduction.
I had to like wrap it all up so that we know that we are speaking to somebody with a passion and certainly an authority on some of the conversations we're going to be having today. And you have a guest that has just popped in. So excited. Joining me in studio is, of course, Demi Jade Candelini. Demi Jade, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm good.
Oh, I am fantastic. Thank you. Let me turn your mic on. So Demi Jade has a degree in psychology and has been with the Star Academy since 2018.
Yeah.
So you work with incredible people every single day and you absolutely love it.
I absolutely love it.
It's a passion. It's a purpose. All of that absolutely. Good stuff. Okay, all right. Well, Ilana, between you and Demi Jade and a little bit later on, Justine Shudeth, we're going to be talking all things traveling, holidays with challenging children. Yeah, it is that time of the year. We're all planning our trips, planning visiting family. It's going to be long time on the road, long time on an airplane. Can you share some of your thoughts, Ilana, on what we can look forward to in today's conversation?
So absolutely. You know, what I want the parents to think about and change their mindset, they should be thinking about, let's think about ways to not only survive the holiday, but let's also find ways to thrive with your child on the spectrum or with challenging behaviors during this festive season, right? So let's discuss a couple of tips for success. We want to avoid regression. A lot of parents with children on the spectrum will say, my child seems to regress during the holiday. So not only do we want to avoid the regression, but we also want to try and gain some ground during the holiday. So think about how you can do this for your child. But the key to success is going to be preparation and planning in advance. I've got some tips to share, but always, you know, really preparation and planning, that is top of the list.
So can you tell me why we'd actually usually see regression over the festive season? Is it because we're not doing the classes, we're not interacting with our peers and that sort of thing, and now it's a completely different environment than what we've been, I don't know, creating a routine around?
You know, with children on the spectrum especially, they learn through repetition. And we work very hard, certainly at the Star Academy, to secure the mastery of their developmental skills. It's so important for children who have developmental delays to be provided the opportunity on a daily basis to practice those skills that they're missing. So once we go on holiday and we have that big gap, and often we see a regression because maybe the skills weren't completely mastered. And so now they take a couple of steps back. But the good news is they can always regain, but to avoid that, you know, it just takes a little bit of a thought process, maybe just setting some time aside during the holiday schedule to practice, ask your speech therapist, ask your occupational therapist, ask your ABA team, you know, what can I do with my child during the holidays? Maybe there's going to be 5 important things or 10 important things on the list that you can just set aside some time that you can practice with the child so that we try to avoid that regression. And, you know, a very important tip that I'll give your listeners today is going to be to keep the sleep schedule on track as much as possible. You know, it's important for the parents to sleep on vacation because if the parent is tired and sleep deprived, it's challenging to have patience and also deal the next day with a child's needs.
Sleep. Absolutely. Because I think on a daily, during the holidays, everybody thinks that you can go to bed super late because there's no school tomorrow. There's none of that early morning routine. But if you're not resting, then the level of agitation, anxiety and impatience is certainly heightened as well. I like that. I'm going to bring Demi Jade into this conversation because she's here in studio. Demi Jade, of course, has a degree in psychology and has been with the Star Academy since 2018. In her time, she's been part of opening a branch in Saudi Arabia, has traveled to Australia and opened the successful branches of the Star Academy right here in Cape Town. Demi, welcome.
Thank you.
I mean, you are handling so many beautiful young people on a daily basis and you're watching them grow and thrive throughout the year. Now it's festive season and you're not going to be spending as much time with them. Can you give us any tips and tricks for maintaining calm for the holiday?
Sure. So my first thing would be to keep the schedule as much as you can. I know it's tricky because obviously your plans with your family members and your friends, but as Ilana said, keep the schedule as best as you can. It's going to be a smoother transition into next year. It's going to lessen the child's anxiety. You know, if there are going to be a change in plans, prep your child.
Mm.
Give them a social story so that they know what's coming up. Prep your family because grannies and grandpas, aunts and uncles, you know, they don't see the harm in just giving into the behavior or, you know, giving your child sweets.
Mm.
So if you prep the family and explain to them why, you know, it will be detrimental to progress, then they'll be better equipped to handle them in the holidays, right? Another point would be don't be afraid to say no.
Sure.
If it doesn't fall into your plans and it's going to affect your child, don't be afraid to say no.
Mm. Okay. And that good routine over the holidays is what you're highlighting is so important. And I think what might be challenging is the fact that I'm not in my home. So let's say we're now going out of town. You know, how do I make that space a safe space for my child so that they don't feel anxious in that environment? So you're saying, I tell them, okay, we're going to Neisner. This is, I maybe show them photos of the house we're going to be staying at and this is what it's going to look like and that sort of thing.
Exactly.
Mm.
Exactly that. Another important one is to meal prep.
Sure.
Take all of that with you because you don't know what kind of stores are going to be around you so that you can follow your gluten-free or casein-free diet. Prep them, show them where they're going to be and have lots of activities ready for the trip. The car ride, the plane ride.
The car ride, the pain ride. Okay, this is what we're going to delve into as soon as we come back to you, Demi. If you're just tuning in, we're talking Challenging Children. This is episode 5 of our series of conversations with founder of the Star Academy, Ilana Gershwitz. And today we have Demi Jade in studio. She's a psychologist and has been with the Star Academy since 2018. And we're unpacking how to make the most out of this festive season. Ilana highlighting the importance of making sure that our children do not regress, so they actually thrive and even get to a place of improvement. All that's possible with proper planning and creating a routine. We get to finish up that conversation with them in just a bit. I'm here in studio with Demi Jade Candelini, who is part of the team at Star Academy. She has a degree in psychology, tons of experience working with little people who are displaying challenging behavior on the spectrum and ADHD. Also on the line, we have a founder of the Star Academy, Ilana Gershwitz. We're talking all things traveling, the holidays and challenging children, which just unpacked with Jade and Ilana. Just some of the things we need to do and to make sure that we have prepped our children for the holiday, especially that long trip, meal prep, sticking to routine. And Ilana mentioned so importantly the importance of that sleep routine. Demi Jade, you mentioned that we need to also keep the kids busy on the trip because we're driving to the Eastern Cape. It's going to be a 10-hour car ride. It's annoying for me as an adult knowing exactly what I need to do in any case. So I can't imagine how anxiety-ridden the children will be on that long trip. How do we make it better for them?
Firstly, I would say speak to your therapist and see if there's any toys that you could pack that would be educational and beneficial for them. Secondly, I know parents don't like to default to the iPad, but you can actually get amazing games on the iPad that are educational.
Sure.
There are lots of games that are autism-based for the iPad. There's a game called Mita that works on object labels and actions. So if iPad is your default, then there are tons of apps that will help with that.
Mm.
But my thing would be speak to your therapist and see what games, what toys you could pack to make it a little bit easier for them.
So even that plane ride, even that wait at the airport, yeah, that sort of thing, to make sure that they are occupied constructively, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Ilana, with some of the listeners will say, what you guys are always saying is they must stay off the devices and all that stuff. But we're saying there's constructive ways to use the technology to make sure that it's actually enriching and not just distracting.
Yes, I agree with what Jenny said. Parents will tell me they feel so guilty that their child is having so much screen time. But I think it's important to understand that if the child doesn't have appropriate play skills, if they can't occupy themselves, but for example, push the car, put the people on the car, take the car to the shop, if they don't have that functional pretend play, then we can't expect them to engage in play routines that they don't have. They're also not going to just suddenly learn how to play appropriately. They need to be taught these skills. So in the interim, as Demi said, it would be very good, you know, to incorporate these educational games on the iPad. And there really are so many, and they're learning from this interaction with the iPad. And then something else that I would add would be to set a timer, because the kids don't understand abstract concepts. So to understand, well, how long is 30 minutes can be difficult for a child who, for example, can't tell the time. So if you're going to set a timer, they can actually watch the stopwatch counting down. And when the timer goes off, you know, they honor the time that you've set. So let's say maybe you set the timer for in 45 minutes, we're going to have a stop at the petrol station for stretching our legs. Then if you're not at the petrol station yet, pull off the side of the road and stretch those legs.
You because know? You agreed. You've set an agreement and you have to do your part of the deal, hey?
Yeah, absolutely. Just, you know, keep the schedule and the expectations realistic. And it takes time to just really think about when and how to join the holiday gatherings.
I love that. Speaking about the petrol stop, Demi Jade, those fuel stations with the eateries and all that stuff, those places are jam-packed at that time. This is me now anticipating a meltdown when we get to that environment, because it's so loud, so many different sounds, like the smell of the place, everything is just a sensory overload. How do I help ease anxiety and manage that time, that 15 minutes, if we're going to dare sit down for a meal at Wimpy, how are we making the most of that time?
I can't stress enough how much you have to prepare. My first thing would be to ask your therapist to note it weeks in advance, so that, you know, we could even have shopping center sessions where we slowly transition them or desensitize them to that noise. Use headphones if you have to. Again, a timer so that they know this is how long they have to be. I think it's also important to communicate with the person that you're traveling with, you know, a partner or whoever, to take turns so that you don't get overwhelmed. Both of you, one of you needs to stay calm. My biggest takeaway would be prepare.
Have to. All right. Yeah. And then now we finally get to the destination. Everyone is happy and relieved. We are unpacking our stuff. You mentioned that we have to keep busy during that holiday season. Ilana stressed the importance of not regressing, so sticking to some routine. Any type of games that we can think that will keep the children engaged and happy and relaxed and also feel like they're on holiday?
I think it's important to note that they are on holiday. So be aware of that before you shove lessons down their throat. But a nice one would be to ask your therapist for any of the master targets, so that there's not a high demand response from them. Ask them for the master targets and then incorporate it into play. You know, you could do gardening. You could do baking, which would incorporate counting and quantities. You could do baking, educational puzzles. I like to do join the dots for visual perception. So you can still make it fun while it's educational.
Okay, and these are easy things. This is not things that are going to cost me an arm and leg to be able to get it done. I'm not buying some massive gadget and that sort of thing. It's actually practical things that I have at home already in the playroom.
Absolutely.
I really like that. Ilana, I've got a question about when we finally get to that gathering, all right, let's say we've now traveled to Nyasna and we are happy. Now there's other family that's coming to join us, let's say 2 days later. And they all have kids of different ages. How am I sensitizing my children about these children that are coming? And maybe my nieces and nephews aren't as patient. They haven't been around challenging children. That level of sensitivity, I know we spoke about it in terms of coping and supporting the family. How do we translate that through to this festive time?
I'm so happy that you raised that. I think very important for the extended family and to tell the other, the cousins, is to focus on what the child can do and focus on positive statements. So the parents appreciate so much if the little cousin comes up to the mom and says, "Wow, I can't believe how nicely your son responded when I called his name. And when I asked him to walk outside, he was willing to come with me." Even if he came and he sat down for 5 seconds, you know, it means so much to the parents to receive small little compliments about what that child did do. Let's not focus on what the child can't do. And just explain to the sibling, the cousins and the extended family, that for this child on the spectrum, things don't just come naturally. They don't just learn from their natural environment. When a child has typical development, it's very easy for them to gain developmental skills. These children on the spectrum have to work so much harder to learn the skills that come so naturally to other people. So I think also when it comes to vocal speech, to explain to the little kids that it's not that they don't want to talk to you, it's that they actually find producing the words difficult. The children should try to engage with them, but then also just step back and give them space. The last thing I'll say is that if the child is having a meltdown, just try to give the child and the parents some space. Don't stand over them and don't ask, "Why is he crying? Why can't he do that? What do you think he wants?" Sure. I used to go mad. My mother-in-law used to look at me and she used to go, "Lonnie, why is he crying?"
Oh, yeah.
"I don't know. You don't know." "If I knew, I'd tell you." And he really can't tell us. Now, you know, this is typical mother-in-law. "Why do you think he's crying?" "Well, I don't know. Because he can't tell us." You know, so maybe just be very, very sensitive about the questions. You don't ask questions, rather make positive statements. He responded so nicely when I asked him to sit down.
Oh, I absolutely love that, because family, we love them, but family can be a lot, you know, with the best of intentions.
Yeah, but. Wait, I have to say, like, I got with my oldest son, David. "Why can't David talk?"
Sure.
You know, but you don't want the cousins asking why he can't talk. You know, you rather want the cousins saying, "It was so nice to have him build the Lego with me."
Oh, love that. Love that. Demi, we're going to say goodbye to you in a bit. We just want to highlight some of your tips again. Maybe let's go through your top four. It was routine.
Schedule. Prepare as much as you can.
Okay, this includes meal prep, this includes the games, this includes what we're going to be doing on the holiday.
Busy areas,
okay.
Right. Stick to the diet and Biomed as much as you can, so again, prepare. And as Ilana said, what stood out to me was the family members. You know, when there are cousins asking questions, that's important to let the aunts and uncles know so they can prepare their children, their neurotypical children, on what things to say and not to say. So
okay.
I can't stress enough, prepare.
Okay, all right. That's Demi Jade, who is a member of the team at the Star Academy, a superstar. I've been all over the world getting just the very best in research and experience to make sure that she's able to plow back into the Star Academy in Cape Town. She has a degree in psychology and giving us tips on traveling, just dealing with the holidays and challenging children and making sure that it's fun, it's festive, and they also get to feel like it's a sense of a holiday. They deserve the break.
Absolutely.
It's exactly the same. And we are all equal partners in making sure that everybody feels loved and excited and is able to have a fantastic festive season. We have still one more guest to tattoo today. That is Justine Shadetta. She studied psychology at the University of Pretoria, and of course she then completed her honours in psychology from UNISA in 2018, and she's been working in the field of autism for over 9 years and was responsible for designing and managing education programs, because we're going into the festive season and then it's back to school in just a blink of an eye. And lots of you asking on the WhatsApp line is, how do I know which school to enroll my child in? What is available between the ages 2 to age 4 and grade R and grade 1 considerations? All those important things that we need to start considering as we step into the festive season, because applications and preparation, like Demi Jade and Ilana have said, is also very important. So we speak education after the holidays, just after this. Busy in a beautiful conversation with founder and director of the Star Academy, Elena Gershwitz. We also had in studio Demi Jade Candelini, who's a psychologist psychologist. We're talking all things challenging children, of course, the festive season and traveling with our challenging children, and of course, what considerations we need to take into place. We covered some tips in terms of making sure that you're prepped. That is creating a routine. Sleep is important. Prep. And of course, games and entertainment on the trip. And of course, having those important conversations with our family and friends to make sure they're not asking silly questions and just making a stressful time even more stressful. We want to make sure that our little people start to progress and not regress over this period. And I did say, as soon as we say festive season, in the same breath, we literally will start seeing the back to school adverts from as early as the 2nd of January. So we need to be able to take some really deep thought into considerations when choosing a suitable school for our challenging children. And on the line with us, we have Justine Shidetto, who is also a psychologist and a very, very focused on getting and designing programs and managing education programs for children with autism and special learning needs at the Star Academy. Justine, good morning. Welcome to the O Factor.
Hello, all waiting. Thank you for such a warm welcome to your show today.
Oh, we are so excited to have you. I feel like I've got the whole family here now.
we're basically family now.
Listen, I know we're all talking festive season and that sort of thing, but one of the big, big questions that come up on the WhatsApp line every time we have a conversation with Ilana is finding a suitable school, deciding when the child is ready to go to school and that sort of thing. So maybe let's start off with that age group of that little person in between ages of 2 and 4, those play school considerations. What must I be thinking of as a mom or dad?
Definitely. So as you know, any child over the years develops certain skills that build on each other. So that by the time that they get to school, they are ready, they've got those basic foundational skills, and they are able to be successful in school.
Sure.
Now, what we see with our kiddies, you know, children on the spectrum, ADHD, a lot of them are sitting with these skill deficits that are not picked up early enough. So what I do as a case manager, I sit with the parent, I sit with the child, we determine where are those skill deficits. So I'm talking about things like language, social skills, even pre-academic skills at the ages 2 to 4, you can really start seeing, are they going to be able to cope with the academic work that's coming? You know, executive functioning skills. These are not things that you think of unless you really zone in on it. But this is a crucial area of development, because if they don't have those foundational skills in place, they are not going to be successful in their early years when we're now reaching, you know, grade R or grade 1. We need to then put something in place to help these kiddies bridge that gap, get those skills up, so that we can have them as successful as they can be when they are placed in school.
All right. So are we saying that we're going to then start doing play school considerations that we normally do between those ages of 2 and 4, but we must specifically look for a specific play school? What is the recommendation?
So definitely there are certain things that we want to look at when we're looking at schools, right? So we've got all these ideas now in mind. So let's say we've determined, okay, my child does have some skills and is kind of school ready, but there's still some gaps. What to do now? So that's where we come into play, where we can do school facilitation. You know, we need to find a school that is open to accommodations like bringing in assistance, giving children extra time to be able to complete work as compared to their peers. Like if we've already picked up on those deficits early on, so if you've seen at age 3, my child is a bit slower to pick up on these skills, then we take that information to schools and we have those conversations and say, listen, my child already has these challenges. I'm working with an ABA team. I'm working with other therapists. We want to give them the best opportunities. So top important point here, find a school that's going to listen and help and support. Are they open to communication and these extra supports? So that's going to be very important. And this needs to happen early on. Parents, you know, throughout the year, things are hectic, then it's festive, you're in holiday mode, but you don't realize how we need to have these things in place early on in the year, because these kind of schools also have waiting lists.
This is so true.
You know, you've got mainstream schools that have got sections with additional support, and that's where, you know, they bring us in as outside people to come and assist as well. But you need to find these schools, and these schools are gems. They are gems. You really need to do research and find the school that's going to provide the best environment for your child, not only in the class and teaching environment, but what is the school culture? you know, what is their policy on bullying?
Mm.
And how do they include children that have different needs?
Okay, Justine, so this is the same then for whether I'm considering my child starting at a play school or they're going into grade R and grade 1, but there's a distinct shift in terms of culture from a play school grade R vibe to where now these little people are wearing school uniforms. There's a certain level of, I don't know, the environment changes. Do I need to consider that difference in environment as well?
Definitely, definitely. Think about childhood development, right? So as your kid gets older, they develop more personality, they start challenging you a bit more, there's more things coming up in their life. And as a child gets older, not only are we looking at the school environment, but how are they dealing with their peers? You know, they're starting to deal with more conflict scenarios, and how do they have emotional coping skills to deal with this? You'd be surprised what these little people are already facing so early on in school. So you want an environment that is really going to support them in their growth.
Justine, thank you so much. Our time goes by so quickly. And where can they find you? Is it the same website as we find All Things Star Academy, especially for this preparation for school next year?
Yes, definitely. So you can reach us at www.thestaracademy.co.za, and we look forward to hearing from you. We're always open to helping schools, helping teachers, educating others, and just creating an inclusive environment for our kiddies who we believe really deserve to be in that neurotypical environment to learn from their peers.
Oh, absolutely love it. Thank you so much. That's Justine, who is with the Star Academy, talking all things creating, managing educational programs for children on the spectrum and special learning needs, and certainly available to all of you as educators, as parents, to help create an environment for them to thrive. Ilana, thank you so much. If you could wrap up this conversation in like 30 seconds so that moms and dads out there are like, okay, we've got this.
Oh my goodness. So as far as inclusive education goes, there's actually, parents have a legal right to inclusive education. No is legally allowed to refuse a child a school placement based on any physical or intellectual disability. If we look at the Constitution of South Africa, the Independent Schools Act and Education White Paper 6. As a mom, I had to find my younger son a typical school placement so that he had the opportunity to model from typically developing peers. That was very important for his development. We want to tailor the child to the environment. We don't necessarily want to tailor the environment to the child. So my advice to parents is, in South Africa, the education system does tend to box children. If you special needs box, remedial box, mainstream box. We do want to break that mold a little bit. We do want to, we do have a right to inclusive education, and that's where Star Academy comes in to provide that infrastructure to make inclusive education work. Getting back to the holiday, I absolutely enjoyed and loved the song that you played. Right? I was driving along here in my seat.
Adrian is like, yes, that was Adrian's song choice. Is like, yes.
On a summer holiday, I think just my last and final comment regarding the holidays is please watch your kids. Kids on the spectrum tend to run, they tend to elope very quickly, and I get very, very worried about drownings around this time of the year, so you really do need to watch them 24/7.
Oh, Ilana, it's such a pleasure speaking to you as always. May you have a fantastic festive break. We'll find you again next year as we do season 2 of our Challenging Children series. Looking forward to it. You be safe, and we'll chat in the next year.
Thanks for where to.
Thank you so much. Ilana Gershwich, founder of the Star Academy and a director, of course. You can find her book online, author of Saving My Sons, A Journey with Autism. You can also find the Star Academy at thestaracademy.co.za.
There's nothing quite like a dose of kindness.
The O Factor with Owe to Nodada, 9 to 12 on Heart FM.